everybody.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 19, fullness of life in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Watch out that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by the removal of the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food or drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the body belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, initiatory visions puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, grows with the growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Holy God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are able to hear it, reflect on it, and that it will build us up in our own faith and in our lives. I pray that all of us who are at this moment anticipating your message for us, that your Spirit will indeed open our hearts and our minds to be willing and able to receive what you want to say to us today. May we all be encouraged through your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Joyce Kilmer wrote this poem called Trees over a century ago. He was known for poetry that celebrated nature as well as Christian faith. He was probably the leading Roman Catholic American poet of his generation. But then in the First World War, his life was cut short by a sniper's bullet when he was serving in the United States Army. And so he was awarded the French War Cross for his bravery, and a section of the forest, or a forest in North Carolina, was named after him, Joyce Kilmer. I think I shall never see, he wrote, a poem as lovely as a tree that looks at God all day and lifts the leafy arms to pray. I mean, just picture that, right? Get that picture in your mind, a tree in prayer. And so Joyce Kilmer loved trees, and he gave us a beautiful image of a tree lifting its branches to God in prayer. But he also knew that a tree is not an island. And so one of his verses says, a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. Maybe, you know, Kilmer's tree would understand the words of Paul to the Colossians. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live in him. Keep your roots deep in him and have your lives built on him. Be strong in the faith, just as you were taught, and always be thankful. It says, let your roots go down deep into Jesus and draw up nourishment from him. Trees do not live alone. I mean, we often think of them as individuals, right? But even if they stand by themselves with roots in the ground and branches in the sky, they still need soil and water and air and sunshine. And they also need cooperation and community. So Kilmer was right when he wrote, a tree thrives only when it presses its mouth against the earth's sweet flowing breast. Because you see, good things happen underground. Things we don't see and might not even know that is happening. And so here's something I didn't know and something I learned this past week. More than 100 years after Kilmer's death, research reveals that social cooperation is thriving in the forest. Suzanne Simard, an ecologist, has studied underground networks called mycorrhizae. And in these networks, fungal fibers fasten tree roots one to another beneath the forest floor. And so in reality, trees are not lonely at all. They're all bound together deeply. If you were to dig up the earth around a tree, you would find a network of fungal fibers. And these fibers are not much to look at. They might be milk pale or inky or translucent, but they connect the trees and help them in a number of ways. The fibers carry water, carbon, nitrogen, and biochemical information between trees that are related. In other words, between trees of the same species and even between trees of different species. It's like a community is created in the forest by these mycorrhizal networks. In these networks, a fungus assists the trees by helping to supply their needs, and the trees help the fungus by providing it with sugar. And so think about the church for a moment, okay? Think about your life as a believer, because good things also happen to us when we go underground. It says in verse 12, and when you were baptized, it was the same thing as being buried with Christ, going underground with Christ. And then you were raised to life because you had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So you see, every bit of spiritual nourishment we receive comes from our connection to God and our connection to Jesus. When we are connected to God and connected to Christ, we are nourished. And so listen closely to these next few verses from our passage. Paul says, when you were spiritually dead because of your sins And because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, God made you alive with Christ, and He forgave all our sins. He canceled the debt which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He took away that record with its rules and nailed it to the cross. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, He won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. So do you get it? The gift of faith. Having a new life. Forgiveness for your sins. Victory over earthly powers. This is what Jesus supplies to us. He's the one who connects us to God, who connects us to Him, who connects us to one another. Like the mycorrhizal networks underground who connects the community of trees. And what ecologist Susan Simmet further says, which I find fascinating, is that because trees in the forest are connected by mycorrhizae, they're engaged in a kind of mutual aid society. Trees in the sunlight will reroute resources to those that grow in their shade. Trees that have surplus water will reroute some to those that are dehydrated. Simmet has even found that bug-infested trees send signals to healthy trees near them. And so what you find in this forest community is really the whole circle of life. When saplings are connected to the network, they do well, while those that are disconnected fail to thrive. As an old tree reaches the end of its life, it might use mycorrhizal linkages to give large amounts of carbon to its offspring. And this is a mother tree, according to Simmet, since mothering is connected to self-sacrifice. I mean, isn't that all, you know, pretty amazing? But the bottom line is this. Trees are not competitive organisms. Instead, each tree invests in the well-being of the forest as a whole. Via these mycorrhizae. They have life-giving connections. You see, us followers of Christ are not meant to live in isolation. We are not isolated individuals. We need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be nourished by Christ. We need to be built up by Christ. We need this connection with Christ. And so Paul says, you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now keep on following Him. Plant your roots in Christ and let Him be the foundation for your life. Christ is our life-giving connection. We link to Him at a very, very deep level. We are His people. We belong to His body. Paul says in verse 19, Christ, who is the head of the whole body, Christ gives the body its strength, and He uses its joints and muscles to hold it together as it grows by the power of God. So let me try and make it a little more practical. Let me try and apply this to your life and to my life. And it all begins by being rooted in Christ. We need to be rooted in Jesus. We need to keep our roots deep in Him. And so what I'm saying is that with an eye on eternal and eternal future, nothing is more important than this connection. Nothing is more important than Christian formation. And that formation begins in childhood, and then it continues until our lives on this earth come to an end. But most of this happens in the home. The challenge for you as parents or grandparents is to show your children and grandchildren a Christ-like love, to show them what it means to love like Jesus, to lay that foundation. Or it means that as spouses, you are as faithful to each other as Christ is faithful to the church. One of our purposes as a church is to help families do this, to help you, you know, form the qualities that Paul lays out for the Colossians in chapter 3. Help you become more compassionate, kind, more humble and tender-hearted, patient, more loving. Because we all need to grow and continue to grow deeper in our relationship with Christ so we can express these virtues more and more. None of us have arrived, okay? We are all works in progress. So we need to be rooted in Christ. We all need that foundation in our lives. And then the second thing we do is we communicate with each other. Like mycorrhizal fibers, we carry information between different parts of the body of Christ. And the best way to do this is in face-to-face conversation. Here in the sanctuary before worship or after worship. Or when we get together in fellowship in the parlor or in someone's home. We talk to one another. And we build one another up with our words. But we can also do so carefully and gently through other forms of communication. Like our website or our church app or social media, but as a faith community, we need to speak to one another. Speak to one another lovingly, but also truthfully. Because we are not isolated individuals. We are a family. We are a family in Christ. And to be connected to this family, you might have to open yourself up and take a risk to build more authentic relationships. And as we communicate with one another, we avoid being judgmental. And we make room for everyone's flaws and failures. And we try to build each other up and not tear each other down. Because we are rooted in Christ, we can communicate with one another in love. And then we nourish each other and we sacrifice for each other. Mycorrhizal fibers carry water, carbon, nitrogen from tree to tree. In the same way as God's people, we can carry encouragement and guidance and support from person to person. We do this when we lift the spirits of people who are feeling discouraged. You can give them a call or send them a card or an email or a text message. We do this when we mentor teenagers who are struggling with their faith. Or when we support people who have experienced a deep loss. And as members of the Christian community, this family of faith, we invest not only in the welfare of individuals, but also in the well-being of the church as a whole. And that's why you give. That's why you offer your gifts of time and talents and money. Because you serve and you're involved in the life of God's church. Remember, God is a giver. He's the most generous giver ever. Gave us his only son. And that's why we are givers. We follow the sacrifice of Jesus, who was killed when people put him to death by hanging him on a tree. Yes, a tree. A living tree was killed to make the cross, and then Jesus died on that piece of wood to bring us forgiveness and new life. Tree. Jesus is like our mother tree who sacrifices herself for the good of her offspring. God sacrificed and he gave. And he continues to give. And so we give in our relationship with one another and in support of the mission and ministry of the church. And then finally, we grow. We grow with a growth that is from God. That's what Paul says in verse 19. Now, I started off this message by telling you how amazing trees are. And I think the image of a forest is a good one to keep in mind when we think about the growth of the church. Our own growth as believers. Because you see, the forest is a lot like the body of Christ. Paul says in verse 19, For Christ holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. Again, it's similar to the mycorrhizal fibers that nourish and link a group of trees. And the forest itself grows deeper and larger. Deeper by sending roots down into the ground, and larger by spreading its seeds into new areas and creating new saplings. And so you see, growth that is from God goes deeper and it goes larger. And so we all need to grow deeper in our faith and our understanding. And if we're not growing, then we are stagnating or we are dying. So we grow deeper when we study God's word and when we reflect on the Bible and when we gather for worship and when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray. When we enter and nurture deep spirited friendships with people around us in this faith fellowship. But as a church, we also need to grow larger by planting seeds in the community around us. And so we live stream our services of worship and we make an effort to promote our church on social media, but we can also do it by getting to know our neighbors. By saying to our friends, you know, we have something going on at our church this weekend. You want to join me? Or check out our worship service online. You know, here's the address. Personal invitations. But we do it best by sharing the love of Jesus with our family members and friends. And so that's the message for today. Rooted and connected. Be rooted in Christ. Keep your roots deep in Him. And be connected. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to His church, His family, so that you can be nourished and remain healthy and grow. Grow like a tree planted by streams of living water. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you that you made this connection with you possible. Through your Son Jesus, who was nailed to a tree for the forgiveness of our sins. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit will help us and enable us to stay deeply rooted in your Son Jesus, to stay connected to Him and to you and to your body, to the church, to stay connected to this family of faith. We pray that we will all grow deeper in our understanding and our faith in you and your Son Jesus, and that we will also grow larger as your body, as we reach out to others and spread the message of love, the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for your blessing upon us as individuals, but also your blessing upon us as a congregation. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.